Hi, this is Jerry Reese. You are listening to the Disney Nerds Podcast. Have fun.
This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by TouringPlans.com. Spend less time in line and more time riding your favorite attractions. Visit TouringPlans.com.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the Magic Worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 452 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going and welcome back to the show. On this week's show, we've got Sam from Sam's Disney Diary and a longtime Disney nerd joining Jimmy and Morgan to discuss everything that happened at D23. Sam was there and he's going to go over the panels he was at, the announcements he heard, and some of the things he saw. And don't forget, Sam's posted a lot of this over on his YouTube channel, Sam's Disney Diary. So you can see a lot of everything that went on at D23 in addition to what you might have seen already. Sam's got some great interviews, and he's also got some great, I guess, insights on what he's seeing. So it's always great to see some of those videos. Okay, so without further ado, we've got Jimmy, Morgan, and Sam talking about D23 and a lot of the things we were talking about last couple weeks. Let's see if they came true or not. Take it away, guys.
Let's bring in our friend, Sammy.
What's up, my man? I heard some little bell there that you rung. Yeah. What the heck was that?
Don't say the S word or he's going to ring that bell.
Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't sure.
That's not a Haunted Mansion bell, dude. Or Tower Terror.
I should have one.
And Sam, I got a new title for you. Because you have been a traveling fool. You are also a roving reporter.
God, I've been everywhere. Goodness. Yeah.
So you are also a roving reporter. You can add that to your business card or your resume or whatever.
All right. I got some of those somewhere, actually.
Yeah.
Business cards. But anyway, I've been tied up in this sucker, man. 750 pages of the Imagineering story signed by Leslie Iwerks after her presentation. She interviewed a bunch of Imagineers. Whew, 70 years of Imagineering this year.
I'm friends with her on Facebook.
That book they talked about, and then the other book, the like 100 Disney experiences.
Yes, sold out. I didn't get there in time.
I pre-ordered it on Amazon. I'm gonna try to pull it up, but
so you bring it up, one of the things, right? Because we talk about the D23 Expo, which we'll get to. The first thing that I always do is jump to the map of the expo floor and everything that's gonna be going on. Right, because each one of these has their own schedule and all the things happening, whether it's the Dreamers Pavilion, which we'll talk about, or it's Journey into Storytelling, or the Emporium, or Step in Time, which is the archive stage, Lucasfilm, Marvel, they all have their own thing. And one of them is Disney Publishing, and Disney Records is one. But the publishing is where they're selling the books and having author signings. So that was kind of cool to sit through that. But it's just... the last thing I wanted to do is bring home a 700-page book, but I did.
Yeah, the weight restrictions probably got you on that.
Yeah, this was in a carry-on. I did not put it in a check bag.
I saw I'm also Facebook friends with Leslie Kay. She does the whole Disney bounding thing. And I saw she was there in the publishing and signing autographs and stuff
That's exactly
for
it.
And for her Disney bounding book.
I don't know if they talked about this one or not, but the very last page of this book has, you know, coming soon, the Women of Imagineering, which I thought was that's the last page.
I don't know if I'm in for 700 pages of that, but if they make it a Disney Plus series, I will watch it.
It already is.
Most definitely.
No,
now speaking of that, good.
Yeah,
the women jumped right in.
You're good. Did you see our friend Mark Daniel?
I did not, because I didn't hang around the live stage. So one of the things on the very bottom corner here is the live stage, which is where they did all the stuff that hit YouTube. I didn't spend a lot of time there. I was in other spots, but I knew he was there and I looked and a lot of people there. Once again, costumes unbelievable.
Yeah. Sorry, I watched it all weekend, so I saw Mark Daniels all weekend.
He did a lot of stuff. He did a lot of stuff with Ashley Eckstein too, which is
They were on that stage in the corner there, and I was, and you know, that's just part of it, because the other part is, look at all these panels that you can go to, all these different things that you can go and watch and see, and when I read something like, you know, 50 years of the Main Street Electrical Parade, or 30 years of the Muppets Christmas Carol, and Brian Henson's there, so you know he's going to be on stage. Oh, wow. So we heard about that stuff. It was the Muppets performing. Man,
it's impossible for one person to cover it, right?
Oh yeah,
it is, absolutely. You can't. You can't.
You
even
need
do,
like a I team mean, of. You need like a team of people if you really wanted to cover it.
You pick any point in time. I mean, there's five things happening simultaneously on five different stages. So you need to pick and choose. So in that particular one, it was, do you go to the Legend Ceremony? Do you go to Talking Pets with Vets? Do you go to Making Disney 100? Do you go to the Women in Disney Fashion, or behind the sneak peek at the Imagineering Special Effects and Development Lab? I, which, by the way, we're talking about that exoskeleton thing the whole conference. Yeah. And then during the Parks blog, we found out, oh, it's Incredible Hulk who's coming to Avengers Campus.
Yeah, we posted one on our Instagram that you took that photo for us.
Yeah, man, lots of cool things. And you know, some of it just, when I see the archive stage, which is usually where I go, right? It's the really nerdy things, which, by the way, I was not allowed to take any pictures or video. I had done that in previous shows, and they're all on the YouTube channel, but what can I do? But one of those was Marty Scar's, like, personal archive. Like, they went through this stuff. Mm. And it was sort of interesting because it was a throwback, because 2019 was the last expo. And during 2019, Marty did a presentation when he introduced or inducted the latest Disney Imagineering legend, who's Bob Weiss, who was inducted. Bob now holds the title that Marty held, which was the Imagineering ambassador. So he's sort of the guy that just goes around talking about it. So he was on stage with Marty's wife and daughter, talking about the material that Marty had collected over time.
Oh, wow.
And Bob personally sort of went through it and started scanning through it. And it was interesting because one of the things he said was they called the archive, they use Iron Mountain to store these things, if you're familiar with that kind of thing, but you send it and they protect it, right? A storage facility.
Sure.
And he had asked the question, why didn't Marty send all these boxes to the mines? So they called them and the mines said, well, we told Marty to stop sending stuff, because he had sent them so many things.
It was just too much.
They estimated over 1,000 boxes. His wife explained the rooms that he added onto the house and the boxes of things he put in. And he never threw anything away, right? So at first scan, and what Disney's doing right now is digitizing, documenting, and potentially, you know, books like these would come out with that information. But you got to keep in mind, Marty was the only person that opened every one of the Disney parks. He was at opening for all of them, from Disneyland all the way through the Shanghai. Yeah. Shanghai is one of the last things he did. So he did all of them. They estimated over 1,000 boxes that he had. And get this, according to Bob Weiss, who's on stage, over 2 million historically significant items that need to be cataloged and maintained.
Wow.
Unbelievable. To the point where his wife mentioned, maybe it was his daughter, And I couldn't take any pictures. I wanted to. In his garage, you know, above a shelf that has all the paint cans, they pull out a thing. And in it is a folder that says stuff from Walt with a little tag on it. And inside of it are notes from Walt to Marty explaining that, he could park wherever he wanted on Disneyland's opening day, just wherever you want to go. It's like, are you kidding? Wow. Like, and Walt's signature, Walt's writing. He had in the same place a portrait that his daughter thought was a facsimile, which turned out to be an original Herb Ryman Disneyland drawing that was partially colored because they didn't get a chance to color the whole thing. And they authenticated it and said, this is an original 1953 Herb Ryman drawing. I'm like, oh my God, it's in his garage.
eBay.
Well, or the Disney archives in this case.
Yeah,
it's just amazing the stuff he had. Name tags. They showed pictures of just these rooms. And that's just one session. And by the way, that's the stuff I love about Expo, is going in and digging into those details. And you mentioned before, Walt's plane, right? Yeah. They had his plane there, which, by the way, I guess
that's the same plane that was on the Backlot tour, right?
It's the exact same plane that was on the mm-hmm. Backlot tour. And here's what I didn't know, Jimmy. And by the way, I got to watch the first 10 minutes of a documentary that's coming to Disney Plus about Walt's plane.
Okay.
Really cool. And I'll be watching that. But I did not realize this. In 1992, the last time that plane flew, right, because they trucked it to California, the last time it flew, it landed on World Drive in Walt Disney World.
Wow.
They closed World Drive. The plane landed in a taxi to MGM Studios to be part of the Backlot tour. I did not know that. Now, and they have video of it.
That's incredible.
And the pilot was, he talked about it. Sorry, I know I'm just rambling, but it was so cool just to hear that, because the pilot's going, yeah, the Tower of Terror was under construction. It was a little bit rainy and we're landing on a road, so nobody's done it before. And his depth perception was a little bit off because there was nothing to compare it to. There weren't the normal things you get on a runway, but they landed it on World Drive. So cool.
That's something. That's awesome.
I'm actually posting the link, because one thing that Sam saw that he, of course, sent us pictures is I'm assuming it's around the plane, was all this merch that you can get on Amazon.
Yeah. So interesting. The exhibit was sponsored by Amazon.
Yeah.
It was Walt's plane presented by Amazon, and Amazon presented a lot of things. And what Amazon presented, there were immediately barcodes that scan that would take you to this landing page and say, we're not selling merch, but you can get it here.
Yeah.
So I actually ordered merch from this website while we were standing in the expo, because I'm like, cool, I want that.
Which there is
were
crazy, because it's of like, it. Yeah, I'm going to the expo. I want to come home with stuff. But no, yeah. Now you got to go on Amazon to get some of this
Well,
stuff.
But that's, I mean, logistically, it makes so much more sense.
Yeah. It does. It does. Even Shop Disney did a lot of that, simultaneously releasing items at the expo and online, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah. So this is all the pilot Mickey stuff.
Oh, that's
so
cool. That pilot Mickey pop socket. I have one of those somewhere.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm assuming this is what you saw in those little.
That's some of what we saw. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And by the way, that hoodie right there was kind of cool. The hoodie that's $50. It was neat. It's got the logo on the back of the airplane.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, Pilot Mickey. It was cool. So, during that expo, or during the breakout session about Walt's plane, they had one of the pilots there. And it was interesting because the pilot's dad had flown Walt. So he kind of took over, and it was interesting to hear some of those stories. And they also talked about the progression of the airplane. Like, it started as a really small plane. It was a small plane where he just jumped around California. He didn't go that far, right? It was jumping around California, different sites, doing what he had to do for the studios. Then he had the vision to get this much bigger plane before anyone knew about Project X. No one knew that he was going to be flying to Florida or to the World's Fair, for that matter. So he was investing in this plane that would then go cross country almost every week to the World's Fair first, and then ultimately Project X to fly to Florida. And the smaller plane kept the Mickey Mouse call sign while the larger plane was going to Florida and back. It had a different call sign. Then they retired it and moved the Mickey Mouse sign because he didn't want anybody to know it was Disney that was flying into Florida.
Well, yeah. Week.
And the pictures that they had of the Imagineers, just the entire 6 hours they worked. Walt had desks in this plane. They show there's a bunch of images of what it looked like inside, but they were working on this plane, flying there and flying back. There was no, this wasn't a joyride. This was, you know, we are going over maps, going over designs, figuring out how we're going to do this. And a couple of them said, the Imagineers would say every time after they got there, flying back, Walt had new ideas. Yeah. Hey, Mike, Scott, what's up, man? It was cool just to see that. Yeah. I mean, that's the kind of stuff to me. I'm like, wow, which is why I didn't see Mark Daniels, because I was in there.
Well, I said there was 50 million other things to do. Going to the live booth for you was probably not a priority. But
We did walk past it at the end of the day, the end of Friday. No, the end of Sunday. And walking by, we did a double take. We're like, wait a minute, that's Donny Osmond on the stage right there. What's going on? So we, we stood around and watched that for a little while.
Mark's wife got to meet him, and she said that was her child. That was like her crush, her teenage crush.
Yeah.
So she got to meet him and take a picture of him.
That was really cool. Awesome. I did a Voices of the Characters panel, which was the last panel of the day. And it was awesome because they had Bill Farmer was there. So Goofy's there. Donald Duck was there, which I didn't realize the current Donald, I'm blanking on his name. I'll remember in a second, learned from Clarence Nash. And there's only been two voices of Donald Duck in Donald's 70 years, which is crazy.
Very cool.
And the new Minnie Mouse was there. So in 2019, the lady who is now the voice of Minnie Mouse had attended Expo as a fan because Rosie Russo had just passed away. And wasn't there, but she attended as a fan, and now she's like, I'm on stage. They sang a song together, all the voices of the Fab Five. Then after that, they had some of the princesses come out, and as they're interviewing some of the princesses, which were Jodie Benson was on stage, Meg, who complained that she's not a princess, and she should be because her song's on every princess album. Whole nother story, as funny as can be. My song's on a princess album. This crowd was definitely with her.
Right, Morgan? Susan Egan.
That's it. Yes. Yeah. Susan was her first name. Yes. Yeah. It was also Tiana, who was a lot of places with Tiana's Bayou Adventure. Tiana showed up in a lot of spots. I'm blanking on her name. Stuff. Yeah. And lastly was Aladdin or Jasmine. And during that session, Jasmine had the question was, well, why isn't it called Jasmine? Why is it called Aladdin? And you hear off stage, Scott, I forget his last name, who is Aladdin, says, because it's Aladdin. And he comes out. And so we had the voice of Aladdin there. And he gets choked up a little bit and says, oh, I need some water. To which a waiter comes out with a thing of water. And it's Donny Osmond who comes out.
Oh, that's awesome.
Who then promptly goes into a huge Broadway style production of I'll Make a Man Out of You, which was
really cool. Awesome. Good stuff.
It was really cool. That's how it ended. Let's get down to business. It was good.
Good stuff. Yeah, that's awesome.
So what
one of my highlights.
So what were your big takeaways from the whole weekend?
Takeaways from the weekend, and I'll be completely honest, it wasn't like other expos. It was different. It was definitely different than the pre-pandemic expos. The Amazon things for shipping. It felt like the reservation system, which they had, it still felt like there was a lot of room in some of the breakout sessions. I don't know if people didn't think they couldn't get in or what, but it felt like there was a little room. Shopping by Sunday, they were just inviting you in. Come on in and shop. Come on in and shop at the Mickey's of Glendale or the D23 Marketplace versus Friday, Saturday, you had to have your pass. You had to show up at the exact same time to get in the queue. The queues were really long. So from that, it felt different. Better or worse, I don't know. I mean, we all know the parks panel, which we'll talk about, was a little underwhelming.
Yeah.
But it is what it is, right? There were some cool things that they announced. I think Disneyland got a lot of love this time, as opposed to Disney World last time.
Yeah.
You know, and I think part of it is that because they had so many things that they announced in the last
Tony, yes, Bill, by the way. Sorry, Jimmy, go ahead.
They had so many things in the last D23 because of the pandemic and whatnot that they just didn't come to fruition. I really felt like they had that they didn't want to announce too much in this panel because of that. Like almost like it's less under promise and over deliver rather than promise all these things and then disappoint people.
Yeah, but also, I mean, if you don't understand why some of the stuff didn't come to fruition from 2019. Then that's shame on you as an individual, not on Disney.
Yeah, there's a pandemic.
They wanted to bring everything from 2019, but nobody was planning for COVID. So, yeah. I mean.
Yeah. And I mean, we got Guardians. We got, if I went back and looked at all of the things they announced in 19, we got a lot of it.
Yeah.
We can get everything. Some things got scaled back. But what are you going to do?
But if we got everything from 2019 with what happened with COVID, I would have been floored. Like, this is awesome. We're still getting this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah. So since we're talking parks, let's talk parks panel, because I think that's what everybody that's listening wants to know. Like, there's other great, cool announcements that we can also talk about, but I think everybody wants to talk parks panel.
Yep.
Which I watched live. You were in the room.
I was in the room. And I get to tell you, there was energy in that room.
Yeah.
There was absolutely energy in that room.
There was energy in my room, too. I was jumping.
I know at one point I had saw your comments going through our little chat thing, and it was fifth gate. And everybody in that room was thinking that at that particular point in time. That's not what happened, but man, that you just nailed the feeling of everybody that was in there. Yeah, come on, let's hear it.
Yeah,
but not yet. Who knows? Maybe.
Well, so they started with Disneyland.
They started with Disney. Disneyland was big, right? Disneyland is going to be the center hub of the 100 years of magic, or the 100 whatever they're calling this thing.
100 years of wonder, I think.
That's it. 100 years of wonder. Thank you. I thought it was on the cover of this, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
I went down. I'm like, it's not there.
So I think.
Which, by the way, October 15th, 2023 is the official 100th anniversary of the Walt Disney Company. So I don't know if that means something big's going to be happening in Disneyland on that day, but the way they said it makes me think something's going to happen that day.
Yeah. Which, man, I think they did talk like a nighttime show at Disneyland for the 100 years.
Yes. The new show at Disneyland and a new World of Color. In fact, one of the things they mentioned for those was they will have, and I'm blanking here. I don't remember if it was the World of Color. Maybe you guys do the World of Color or the Disneyland projection show. They were going to have every Disney animated film be featured in this show. And that's a hell of a lot of Disney.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how. I don't know if it's just a clip of some, but for them to say all of them are going to be in this show, whatever it is. But
yeah. I know for me, I am jealous that they are getting Mando and Grogu.
They're getting Mando and Grogu, which, by the way, I have, and Jimmy knows, and some of you watching know from Womp Rat Radio, that I've spent a lot of time on the timeline of these things. And I know a lot of people are yelling, oh, it doesn't fit the timeline. It actually does. Mando in his helmet absolutely fits the timeline of being in Galaxy's Edge sometime between the events of The Last Jedi and The Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
Grogu is Grogu. He's ages like Yoda, so he's maybe 70 years old, and Mando's a little older, but with his helmet on, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But no.
Yeah, I was just, because I'm like, why can't Walt Disney World get Mando and Grogu walking around too?
It seems like they could. It really does.
Or even if they're not walking around, because I don't know if it's an issue of like, oh, you know, maybe Galaxy's Edge in Disneyland is not as busy because it's more like the locals park, you know, it has that, you know, thought of it. But put them on like the little stages and things like where they put Chewie and Rey during COVID. Like,
I agree. And I don't know. They didn't say how he was going to be there. Right, Morgan?
Yeah.
They didn't say it's going to be, you know, are they going to put him inside a building or in something where you have to go inside? Or is he going to be walking around? Or is it like you said, he's just going to be up on the scaffolding above the garage? I don't know.
Yeah.
They never said.
Walt Disney World can get Grogu and Mando too.
Yeah. Yeah. And Scott, you're absolutely right. Grogu was 50 years old in Mandalorian. Now we're probably 15 years later in the timeline for Galaxy's Edge and when it happens. So yeah, he's a little older, but it fits. I mean, it's not like they're bringing somebody back that doesn't fit there.
Not completely out of the loop. I mean, I agree.
And then of course, they're getting Hulk, which I thought was awesome.
They're getting Hulk, which is that exoskeleton. Right,
yeah.
That we had seen, and it's interesting because they've done that now quite a few times at Expo.
Sorry about
that. I'm trying to get some things put away. They've done that quite a few times at Expo where there's something in that pavilion and they don't tell you what it is, and then you find out during the panel, which is the last day, right? So you got all day Friday, all day Saturday. You're looking at this exoskeleton and going, wow, that's really cool. And they have it right next to the Spider-Man when it was still in its imagineering phase that jumps in the air and spins and lands and Spider-Man. And they got this huge thing like, what is that? And then of course, it's the Incredible Hulk. It just makes sense.
And like I said, I think I put it on our Instagram like Friday or Saturday because you sent it to us and we thought it was cool. So, you know, I was like, let's put it on our Instagram.
Yes, exactly. It is cool because
But yeah. And then, of course, it's just cool.
Speaking of Disneyland getting some love,
I want to see a close up of that photo. because I want to see all the characters in detail.
This is the poster. This is the new attraction that's coming to Avengers Campus. They didn't give it a name.
Multiverse. It's the multiverse, guys.
It's the multiverse, and in it, the bad guy. And you guys know I'm not a huge into Marvel, but I did watch Doctor Strange. This is the version of Thanos that wins, that you have to go into the multiverse and defeat.
Yep, they call him King Thanos, and showed a big picture in the panel, and he's got a gray beard, and like he's aged, which is really cool. But they said during the panel, and correct me if I'm wrong, Sam, that any villain could show up. All the ones in that poster Sam has could be some of them, but it's not all of them.
If you can traverse the multiverse to different dimensions, you can then jump to any point in time and be able to be your favorite, see your favorite bad guys, no matter what movie they're from or what era they're from, which is kind of cool. Which then, of course, my mind goes to, boy, could they do the World Between Worlds for Star Wars, for Galaxy's Edge? And that's the only way you're getting Darth Vader there in the timeline, right?
Oh,
anyway. I diverse.
it just frustrates me that we won't see this in Disney World.
Yes, I understand. And I know I saw some comments. When's Avengers Campus coming to Disney World? Well, unless there's some deal with Universal, it's not gonna.
And I mean, one of their probably their second greatest coaster since they built VelociCoaster is the Hulk.
So Hulk's awesome. Yeah, it's a great coaster.
So they're not, Universal's not letting that name go.
I wouldn't think so.
Put it this way. The only way that we're getting Avengers Campus is if Disney buys Universal. Just saying. That's the only way we're getting Avengers Campus.
Do you think there's any trade there? Could they do another trade like they got Oswald back by trading off?
Yeah, I mean, they could. And with that being said, it wouldn't be terribly hard for Universal to retheme that coaster. I mean, they could still keep the coaster and just retheme it.
Right. But if you think about it, it's not just that Marvel world that Disney now owns at Universal. You've got Simpsons.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Big panel with Simpsons.
Yeah. So I mean,
go to it.
There's more than just Marvel over at Universal that is technically Disney property right now. So
do you trade the Simpsons for Marvel?
Yes.
Jimmy's like, yes, you do.
Yes, you do. Without a question.
That's funny. There was a celebrating 60 years of Spider-Man panel, which I did not get to.
That went live, and I did watch that.
Oh, it did? Cool.
My boyfriend is humongous Spider-Man fan, so we sat down and watched it. And it was a history lesson on Spider-Man, which he was disappointed about because he was like, I want to know what's coming up for Spider-Man, like what's Spider-Man's future. But if you're not a huge, like, I know every detail about Spider-Man, it was a cool history lesson.
Got it. So I would have liked it. Yeah. I know a bit about Spider-Man. I mean,
he's Spider-Man. You're going to know. You know the basic story.
Absolutely.
They dove more into like the history through the comics of his storyline. And then this is how he became the cartoon and then the movie. Like, yeah, it was cool.
And I think you hit on something big there, which is expectations. Oh, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
I think a big expectations are a big thing and what you go in something with. Like if you went in there wanting some new cool Spider-Man stuff, you weren't going to get it. But if you went in just wanting to learn about him, you would. Same could be said for the first day. There was an inside look at the Society of Explorers and Adventurers, which I did not go to. And I'm glad I didn't, because my expectation was, oh my gosh, we're going to learn some really cool stuff about Adventureland and the details and how all this stuff connects. And that's not what it was at all. It was a basic 101 of what that is. So I would have been disappointed, but some people liked it. Who's that Intercot guy, man?
I don't know. Boot him out of here.
Now, one thing that I know Jimmy, like if Jimmy watched the live panel during this part, you, Sam, will know exactly what part I'm about to bring up. I'm just imagining Jimmy like yelling at his TV, frustrated, you know, there's no hills in New Orleans.
You know what? It doesn't fit. I don't care what they do. I agree. Pocahontas would have been a better theme to retheme Splash Mountain. She literally rides a canoe over a waterfall.
Yeah, you're right.
Now, to me, and Sam, you tell me if my train of thought seems right. It seems like Tiana's Bayou Adventure is a better fit in Disneyland.
Sure it is. Yeah,
absolutely. It's in New Orleans Square. Yeah. Well, it's not. It's on and this was another question. If you know Disneyland, Haunted Mansion is New Orleans Square, and Splash Mountain is right next to Haunted Mansion, which is officially Critter Country, but you can easily make it part of New Orleans Square. You just
gotta move the border line a little bit.
You just move the border, which then leaves the Country Bear, or not the Country Bear, the Hungry Bear restaurant and Winnie the Pooh as the last two attractions.
Yeah.
But we also saw that Tiana is getting a restaurant, which I believe is in New Orleans Square, where there's some retail locations now. There's sort of an empty place under their Club 33 is where we're
thinking. It does kind of make more sense in Disneyland. It's close enough to New Orleans Square where you could make the argument that it fits a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's still a little weird. Like, we don't have red clay here.
I get it. We don't
have mountains. We don't have hills. And look, first of all, being from New Orleans, I love the movie Princess and the Frog.
Yep.
I think it's a great representation of the city of New Orleans and the area. And that's my issue, is that this is not going to be a good representation.
Yeah.
I don't know if I told you this, but my parents' neighbor, Mark, his brother was the inspiration for Raymond.
I think I knew that, and that's awesome.
he's a swamp tour captain, runs a swamp tour boat down here. When they were making the movie, a bunch of the Imagineers came and went and rode on the boat with him, and a lot of it was to get the.
Have a good night, Nicole.
Thanks for joining me.
The way the bayou looked and how to draw it and all that, but they liked him so much that they based the character of Raymond off of him a lot. And, you know, I heard that, and you always hear, you know, you hear stories like that, and you're like, maybe it's true, maybe it's not. But he actually has a credit in the special thanks of the movie.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so it says in this, there's like awesome. At the bottom section, there's a special thanks to, and Captain Reggie Domang was one of them. Cool. Actually, my friend, my cousin Michelle and her boyfriend Hilliard, that come to the meetups, it's Hilliard's uncle. It's Hilliard's uncle. Hilliard's
last name is
Domang too. Yeah,
that's so cool. Yeah. So it might be Cafe Orleans, maybe not. There's a spot under Club 33 to the right of the Blue Bayou that's empty, and I'm thinking maybe there, but I don't know, and we'll find that one out later.
And
by the way, Jimmy, I'm surprised you took down that Intercot post. Jimmy is right. I was going to frame that.
Morgan took it. I was going to print that and frame it. John Yaglinski never gives me credit for anything. He usually disagrees with me.
Well, that might not be him.
We'll put it back up.
That's true. That's true. It may not be him. It may be maybe one of his staff.
Oh, no, it's him. There you go.
Yeah, it's him. Right there. But you know what's funny? Like, talking about Tiana, though, the entire time that they had the Imagineers out and they were talking about, if you're from New Orleans, you will, you know, feel like you're going home. And if you've never been to New Orleans, the entire time I'm listening to that, I'm like, Jimmy would be yelling at his TV right now.
Yeah. They were big on, we visited New Orleans, we made a field trip, and we learned all this stuff, and we're bringing it all back. And I kept thinking of you the entire time they were saying that, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Even in the expo hall where they had the model, they kept saying this.
So maybe in the inside, maybe that may be true.
Yeah.
I think I sent you guys a shot. When you look at the top of that inside, there's lights going and fog and smoke, and it looks really cool inside there. I want to see it.
So maybe the inside may be fantastic. My biggest complaint is just, like, the outside is like, look at Splash Mountain, but we put a tree.
Yeah.
It's like they didn't change the look at all. Like, it's still just Splash Mountain.
It's still Splash Mountain at the end of the day.
Yeah. The fact that it was... They talked about it during the Disneyland announcements, and they didn't really like talk anything for the Walt Disney part of it. Like, leads me to believe that basically Imagineers created this for Disneyland and figured, hey, there's a Splash Mountain Walt Disney World. Let's just slap it on there too. When it does, it's not going to fit in Walt Disney World theming as well.
Yeah, it just, that's the only thing that
bothers. All right, let me share something here. I'm going to mute the sound because this is what's above the model. That's the model below it. And they're talking to, so that's the location where I think that restaurant's going to be. And there's the name of it. But in this concept art, it's Disney World, not Disneyland. So this is the boutique that's going to feature some of those secrets. That right there, those boats are side by side. So that's Disney World. That's not Disneyland. So if I pause that for a second, if I can, that's Disney World.
Yeah.
And you could tell because the boats have two people next to each other, right? Disneyland, it's single file. Like our Space Mountain.
All right. And they did say it's going to look great at night, which is awesome.
And
it's
does. It looks cool.
Yeah. It looks like it will look cool. But I agree, like Pocahontas or something else that fit into that Adventureland.
Sam, I got $100 if you find a waterfall in South Louisiana.
You got what? $100 if I can find a waterfall?
If you find a waterfall in South Louisiana, anywhere close to New Orleans.
I'm not saying I can. I'm just, this is what they had. So
it's pretty.
Imagineers taking a research trip to New Orleans.
Yeah. And they showed this during the panel too. So it's like.
That's Armstrong Park. And on the inside, I'm sure they're going to get some of that correct.
Yeah. I mean,
I hope they do. I really do.
I don't want to bash it because I know that a lot of work is going to go into this. But, yeah.
I don't know. Fort Rock Salt Mine. So some of that's going to make it on the way inside.
So what does that mean? We're getting rock salt when we get off? Can you relate the walls?
I don't know. This is what was running on the video screen above it. That's what I got there.
But yeah, I had to bring that up because, like I said, the entire time they're talking about Tiana's body, I was like, Jimmy would be yelling at me right now.
I hope the best. Let me tell you, one of the coolest experiences I had. I mean, obviously Disneyland's amazing, but when we went and rode the Mark Twain, we were on the first level.
Yes.
And on the second level, we were in the front of the boat on the first level, and I turned around and Tiana was on the second level.
That's so cool.
And she, you know, she rode the whole way around waving to everybody. I got a bunch of really good pictures of her up there. And that was really, really cool because, again, that movie really touches home for us a lot.
Yeah.
And it's a great representation and a really good movie. And the last hand-drawn animated movie Disney has done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they'll get the inside right. I have no question. I really do.
Yeah.
It's really going to be good, but I get your point. Find a mountain in New Orleans.
There is none.
All right. The other, I know we're way over, but the other big thing, of course, is the whole Epcot and what's coming there. Let me zoom out a bit because we've seen a lot of this already. What we learned is if I zoom in over here onto Moana's Journey of Water, we learned that the center part is going to be that statue that we saw.
A Tafiti.
Tafiti. Yeah, you can't tell that that's it. It's kind of vague on purpose, but I did get confirmation from the Imagineers that's where it's going to be. They couldn't tell me which way it was facing. I don't know if it's because they didn't know or if because they
don't want to tell us. Stay, but, yeah.
Well, I'm like, is it going to face the monorail or is it going to face the other way? It's going to face the entrance of this attraction, wherever it is. That's my guess.
And they did have that cool model, which you took a picture for us, which we posted on our Instagram. So thank you for that.
It's 14 feet tall, so it's not huge. But what I can't get is a judge of what it's sitting on top of.
Yeah.
So it's a 14 foot tall model, but is it on a pedestal that makes it look bigger? I don't know the answers to that. We also learned, we knew that the Dreamer statue would be coming here in the center. There's no representation of where it is. It is much smaller than I expected. We saw it there, and the model that was at the expo is the statue that's going to Epcot. It's not a...
Is it pretty much to scale? Like, would it be the size of Walt?
It's to scale, which is just like the partner statue in Disney's California Adventure is to scale. And when you stand next to Walt, he wasn't a tall guy. Right.
He was a very skinny guy. Yeah. He was a little guy.
He's going to be facing away from Spaceship Earth into Epcot and what he created as Epcot. That's the whole filling behind that. So we got confirmation on those. That'll new concept art of what this looks like. Now we know the right-hand side over here, that's all already open. That's Connections Cafe and Eatery. It's the new store. On the left-hand side over here, if I move a little bit, this is the new events. What did they used to call it? The event center, right? Which was the old, the play pavilion. I'll call it that, even though we didn't hear anything about it. But there used to be that event space. That is now this space on the left. They also talked about there being a stage under here, but you can't really see what it's going to be. There's a bunch of people that looks like they're looking, but that's where your mixologies are going to be. It's where the horticultural presentations are going to be. That is the new festival center.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Which, okay, sure. It's kind of vague, but it does make me think, all right, maybe this takes out that, right? The what was the temporary Starbucks. I expect that will disappear. And they built that new big bathroom, which is in a good spot now.
I'd be interested. I'm very interested to see if all the greenery makes it in.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting you say that, Jimmy, because I noticed it. One of the things the Imagineers mentioned, especially here from World, it's all World Celebration, but the Connections Eatery, they talked about being able to look through those big windows and see straight across. But in this concept art, there's a lot of trees.
Trees and greenery and.
And there's a lot of greenery and trees where that statue is supposed to be. So I don't know if that's just to don't look behind the trees. There might be something there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Correct.
But this is the transformation of Epcot continuing. We know this is under construction. All of that's a huge construction zone. I think Ed shared some video of that not long ago.
I'm ready to get that. I'm ready to see some of them walls start to come down. It's been.
Yeah. Me too.
And I was hoping to hear a little bit more about the transformation, but I mean, it was basically here's the artist concept, Journey of Water, next.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it was.
Now, I do admit, I was happy about one Epcot announcement, Figment.
Oh, yes. There's the statue. Figment is getting a meet and greet, so that's happening at Epcot. Disneyland's not going to get that.
Which I don't think we've had a Figment meet and greet since, like, what? 80s, maybe early 90s.
Yeah. Talk about with Dreamfinder too, right?
Yeah.
So is this an animatronic? Is this like Baby Groot was? What are we going to see here?
I'm curious.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I had a mutual friend that I won't mention his name on live, but messaged me and say, boy, you know, it's a slow news day at D23 when a Figment character meet and greet makes the announcements.
And there was no picture, no anything.
Nothing.
An announcement that a fan favorite's coming back.
Yeah.
Hatbox Ghost is cool.
Yeah. I mean, once they said Dragon, I'm like, let me get a picture.
Like, Hatbox Ghost is cool, but I mean, how much does he actually add to?
Well, at Disneyland, he did, because remember, it was taken away. It was only there for like 3 weeks at Disneyland, and they took it away and never debuted at Disney World. So you're adding something, which is cool. I'm with you, Jimmy.
Yeah, it's not that. And I'm a Haunted Mansion fan, but I mean, it's not that groundbreaking to me that they're putting the Hotbox Ghost in there. It's like,
I want to see how, like, where and how he's getting put into Walt Disney World.
I'm with you. So in Disneyland, it is at the top of, as soon as you leave the attic and you start to go backwards, he's right there at the top of that backwards hill.
Yeah.
That's where he's at Disneyland. I don't know about where.
I would imagine it's got to be going the same place, but who knows?
Yeah.
That's where it is.
We'll see.
Cool. And of course, Happily Ever After is coming back.
And it's going to be updated, so that'll be interesting. The soundtrack is coming back with an updated fireworks show, is kind of what they said.
And I'll tell you what was cool. Jordan Fisher was there. He kicked the whole thing off singing it.
Yeah.
That was just
Jordan Fisher on Disney Plus is with Ashley Eckstein recapping the days.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There's a special on Disney Plus for D23, and it's Jordan Fisher and Ashley Eckstein recapping each day.
And I have to admit, when they switched the live over to the parks and Jordan Fisher is singing Happily Ever After, I'm like, okay, this has got to mean something. They're not going to just sing Happily Ever After for the heck of it. So, like,
yeah, and it did.
Yeah.
And so to Heather's question, they didn't say without Dreamfinder. They didn't say with Dreamfinder.
But they can't do it with Dreamfinder if he's not on the attraction.
He doesn't really exist anymore.
I understand. I get it.
Going back just for a second to Happily Ever After, we discussed this months ago, whether or not Enchantment was a permanent show or just there temporarily for the 50th and then would Happily Ever After return afterwards. Yeah. We kind of talked about this because we weren't sure. We never were sure that Happily Ever After was going away completely at all. We always kind of thought that Enchantment could have been just a show for the 50th. For the 18
it turns
months.
Out it is. Now, whether or not that was the plan, we'll never know. Admit it.
Yeah.
Correct.
Which now that I know Enchantment is temporary, I'm more inclined to like, okay, let me see if I can get that dessert party ticket so I can at least get one good view of Enchantment.
And I'll tell you, there's a subset of the Disney community and that's so toxic that literally harped on the idea that Happily Ever After. Well, they said it's not the show coming back, it's just the song.
Yeah, and I'm good with that.
But what more, like, you wouldn't know that as long as the song's there, you wouldn't know if they changed the fireworks up a little bit. You can't tell me you have the whole damn show memorized. The song is the show, right?
And I'm okay with enhancements. Like Encanto on top of the projections on the castle. I'm okay with that. As long as it follows along with the show and you've got that song, I'm good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Did we get, did they announce new Epcot fireworks?
They said that, so they did
they
say Harmonious.
A new show. Yeah, they said a new show is coming.
And it's going to be celebrating the 100 years of Disney.
Got it. I was trying to find something about it, but I don't know.
Yeah. And again, that was it. Like, then that was another thing with when it came to the Walt Disney World stuff, there wasn't a lot of photos.
Until they
got to the part where they did this whole what if thing, which drove me absolutely insane.
I'm not even gonna talk about it. It's just gonna aggravate me.
Yeah.
Well, that the only cool thing that I learned is there's an expansion pad on the other side of Big Thunder.
That's a good point. Well,
and they are looking to fix Dino Land.
Yeah,
Dino Land, which we knew they were going to do. Clearly they're going to do that.
Like, you know how in some movies they just throw some stuff in there just as fan service? Like they do that in Star Wars movies.
Absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
Just fan service, right?
It's just so I geek out and go buy whatever the figure was.
Well, that's what that whole what if thing was. It's like, what if we had an area that was villains? Like they don't know everybody wants a villains area. Yeah. Now we ain't not saying we're gonna do it.
What if there was?
But let's put this
way. It's just straight fan service. Like that was just to appease the crowd at the moment because you don't have any plans for it or any intentions about it. It was bizarre. That was so bizarre to me.
But they're obviously thinking about it because there is artist concept work. So they're
Morgan, they got artist concept stuff on everything though. They do two million things of that. Correct. Yeah. Correct. 2 million. Marty's Club's got 2 million concepts drawn up.
Now, okay. I do like John's comment. They do have Epic Universe to contend with soon.
They do.
So they do have to doing the expansion behind Big Thunder Mountain, doing something else at Dino Land does make 1,000% sense.
But this is where we go back to earlier when I was talking about how long it's taken them and how they ditched all the stuff. And you said, how can you not understand why they didn't do all that stuff with the pandemic?
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't seem to have bothered Universal because Universal is completely on track with all the crap they were going to do. Disney has backed off. So that's not a valid excuse for me. Why can Universal do it and Disney can't?
No, I get it.
And that's the frustrating part. And I'm a Disney fan and not a Universal fan, but it just frustrates me a little bit as a fan. It just frustrates me a little bit. And it doesn't mean
there's any shot that Disney can sell 4 ugly barges to Universal for their bay.
I think they should just sink them right in the middle of the World Showcase Lagoon. You can make a reef.
Well, if they did like World of Color, they would sink and then they'd come up.
But yeah, that's they'd come up. Story. Yeah, correct.
That's a whole other story.
Yeah. Look, I love Disney, and usually 99% I give them the benefit of the doubt. But as a fan, I feel like it's also my responsibility to call them to task when I feel like something's not done correctly. And it's just, it was just odd. That's odd. And the way we went through the pandemic, the way Disney went through the pandemic was odd. You expect Disney to be the leader in things. And that from the day the pandemic started, it felt like Disney was following Universal's lead the whole time. Like they let Universal make announcements about closures and openings and stuff like that. And then Disney followed it. And I just, I'm like, you guys are the big dog. You're supposed to be setting the pace here, not following their pace.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
So that, I mean, that little things like that just frustrate me because I want the best for Disney and as a fan.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I wasn't thinking about Universal when I made those comments, but I.
Well,
I,
but that could also be why, you know, we were all thinking fifth gate. Maybe that's just wait until they figure out how this whole Universal thing impacts them.
Could be.
But they shouldn't have to wait.
Agreed.
Because bottom line, Disney is not the only theme park in Orlando, let alone Florida. So
yeah,
people all the time do the I'm gonna do some time in Universal and some time in Disney when they spend their week in Central Florida.
Yeah, and so, the more Universal bills and the more time it takes people to do Universal, the more days they're gonna pull away from Disney. So instead of doing 5 days in Disney and I'm gonna do a day in Universal, now it's gonna do 4 days in Disney and I'm gonna do 2 days in Universal.
Yep.
Now I need the 2 days to do it.
Because honestly, right now, you could do Universal in a day if you wanted to.
Absolutely.
You're adding Epic Universe, which is going to have a bunch of stuff, which we won't even get into. Now you are getting to that 2 days. So you've taken a day, just like you said, you've taken a day away. So they should not have been like, well, what if we do this? They should have had a game plan that said, you know what, guys? Guess what? We're going to put this stuff behind Big Thunder Mountain. You guys have been wondering about Dino Land. This is what we're going to do, guys.
Yep. I agree.
There is that last picture that I threw in there. That was Josh D'Amato's kind of summary of everything that they're doing, that they're working on. And if you look at 2024, you got Tiana's Bayou Adventure in Disneyland and at Walt Disney World. You got the new boat and the new island, which is that Lighthouse Point. You got the Story Living, which is in the center, and there's nothing else there. I mean, the only thing there that's Disney World is Tiana's Bayou Adventure.
But there's something right beside Bayou Adventure. It's Polynesian Village.
That is DVC, the DVC.
So which means that's...
As is all the way on the left, the Disneyland one, there's a new tower being built at the Disneyland Hotel, which is DVC.
Yeah, they're building that at the Disneyland Hotel.
It's gone vertical.
They had gates up when I was there in January. They had, because we were in that building all the way around the third building. We were in that third building.
By the way, they did also announce that was getting rethemed. You're talking about Paradise Pier? Is that the name of the hotel?
No. We were in Disneyland Hotel, but in the third
building. Oh, at Disneyland Hotel. Got it.
In the third building, and right next to it is where they're building that DVC resort.
That's a DVC they're building there.
Yeah. It's going to be good.
That's the summary that was on stage. That's Josh D'Amato standing in front of it at the end, recapping everything that Disney's done and going to do. And by the way, he has, Tron's 2023. Which we learned spring. I think a lot of people wanted to see that this year.
Yeah.
They had announced a long time ago that wasn't open until 2023, though. That's not new.
But now we know spring 2023.
Which who knows what that means.
Look at this highlight here. A Haunted Mansion Hitchhiking Ghost is one of your Walt Disney World highlights for 2023. Journey into Water, we know that. The 100-year celebration's coming. World of Frozen, that's in Tokyo, right?
Well, three places are getting frozen. Paris,
yep.
Tokyo, and it's either Hong Kong or Shanghai. Basically, the overseas is getting frozen lands.
They're getting lots. I tell you what, this whole Fantasy Springs at Disney Sea, that is huge. That is four attractions and a new land. It's a Tinkerbell attraction, which we saw ride vehicle for. It's a Peter Pan attraction, not like the Peter Pan we know, because it's a ride vehicle that you go in. It's a Frozen attraction, and dang it, I'm blanking on the other one.
Isn't that the Tangled?
Tangled's the fourth one, yes. That is a huge addition to Disney Sea in Tokyo.
four attractions in a whole new land called Fantasy Spring.
They're
crazy. And those rides, those vehicles look phenomenal. And which, by the way, I want to go back to one other thing. I want to go back to Dino Land real quick if I can.
They're making me want to go overseas, at least parks more.
They are. I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you. The one thing that I saw in the Zootopia ride that's coming to Japan, where they had the little puppet show that they were talking about there.
Yeah.
That ride vehicle to me looks like the dinosaur / Indiana Jones adventure ride vehicle. Like it's that, which maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But it got me thinking, is there any shot that they could re-theme Dinosaur to the Zootopia and make that whole area something huge, including Dino Land?
Which was part of their what if. Which was part of their what if. What if we do Zootopia and Dino Land?
What if Dinosaur became Zootopia? Because that's what we're building in Japan, assuming that my conclusion is correct and I could be completely off. But the ride vehicle looked like it. I mean, that's the time rover. It looks like it.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That's good stuff.
Something to be interested in. Anyway, this is fun. We could talk all night. I know.
Yeah, we could dissect.
We can probably, and we can probably continue this conversation. Maybe even in the next week and talk more when we can have Ed on too.
Yeah, and get into some pictures and things. I got a lot of content that I need to edit and get up on the YouTube channel. That's for sure.
All right, make sure you guys go check out Sam's Disney Diary on the YouTube.
Thanks, man. Did ESPN was there? I was surprised. They. Which was cool because I had seen a lack of where's ESPN, but ESPN Plus was represented in the Disney Plus booth. It was Hulu, Disney Plus, and ESPN.
Can you tell?
And it was interesting to see some of those Hulu titles on the show floor, like American Horror Society and things like that. They were there.
Did you tell the ESPN people to go rebuild their bar at the boardwalk?
Oh man, I wish I could have gotten into that. All the ESPN people wanted to talk about was Peyton Manning and Eli. God. That was it. The whole thing.
Not a good representation of New Orleans. I can't stand it.
No.
All right, guys. Thank you guys so much for joining. Thanks, Lily. We appreciate you joining. Lily's been here since she was the first one to comment when we started.
Thanks,
so you've
man.
Been here
you,
the whole night. So thank you guys so much for joining.
Extra long live show tonight.
Yeah, extra long, little bonus material. So thank you, Sheila, for at As You Wish Magical Experiences. She's going to become giving me and Sam some manliner.
Guyliner.
At some point.
I missed that, so I don't know what that is exactly.
They do. So it's a company. Basically, all of them worked for the Bippity Boppity Boutique at one time. And when they got furloughed, they had clients reaching out to them. So now they've kind of started their own company that they'll go to your hotel and they'll do makeovers and do pirates and do all the things that the Bippity Boppity Boutique does. So
yeah, I love it. Makes sense.
So I said, let's put usually. Some eyeliner on you guys. And
you misspelled usually, John.
Occasionally. I think that spelling was on point.
That's good. Look, there's a lot going on. I know that if you judge all of the expo on the parks panel, it was disappointing, but there was so much.
No, so much happening. More stuff. Yeah. I agree. Oh, the trailer, that the sneak peek for Andor.
The Lucasfilm. I sat in. I was in the room for all the Star Wars stuff, all of it, and I'm just like snapping pictures. The Harrison Ford comes out. Come on,
man, that's amazing.
No, he's up there as Indy Jones, but I'm like, no, he's not Indy Jones.
Right. Me. Correct.
It was like, are you kidding me? That alone, Bad Batch 2 trailers. we didn't hear about. So I go back to that Investor Day, and here I go talking some more. The Investor Day they had. Remember the Lando Calrissian series that's supposed to be coming out?
Yeah.
Nothing about that. Nothing about that. Where's the Lando series?
It may still be out.
Where's the movie? I wanted a movie release. I wanted to hear about a new Star Wars movie, and we didn't.
It was all Disney Plus.
Dude, Andor looks, and if you're a fan of Rogue One, Andor looks incredible. Yes.
It's prequel, and it's by the way, it's 24 episodes, 2 12 episode seasons. Three of them drop next week. The week after.
Next week. Next week, the week after. The 21st or something like that. Yeah.
I think that's right. The three of them dropped the first day.
Amazing.
The actor who plays Cassian, that guy, he just comes
Diego,
up
to start talking Spanish. Diego Luna.
Diego, Yeah. He hits that stage and just talks in Spanish, and the place goes nuts. The people that I don't know what he's saying, but it just.
And if you have not already, go over to Disney Plus and go watch the Obi-Wan Kenobi, the making of.
Yes.
It's incredible. Really, really well done. Emotional. It was emotional to me watching him and Hayden Christensen. Yeah, Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen,
yeah.
When they first got to see each other after all these years, and they instantly connect because they had such a great relationship. It was really, really good. So go check that out.
Star Wars booth had all those costumes in it, so I could just walk. They had all the Disney Plus series costumes. It was Book of Boba Fett. Then it was all of the Kenobi, and then it was Cassian, which includes a robot that I never seen before. I'm like, what is that?
Did you get the try any of it on?
I couldn't do that. Yeah. They had other. I tell you
what, want to get arrested.
Cosplay at this conference is off the hook every time. We could do a whole show on that and watch some of the B-roll that
that's
they
good
supply.
Stuff. Unreal. Love it.
Real what people are going to ask.
Good stuff. Thanks, Carlos, Sam, for joining. Thank you.
I'm walking around with a window, Carlos. Don't be chicken. It's like, are you kidding me? And she looked just like her.
Thank you, Sam, for joining us tonight and doing this. We'll get with Ed. Maybe we can do more. Get a little deeper dive next week. All right, guys. Thank you guys so much. Have a good night.
Amen.
Have a magical night. Hakuna Matata. And as always, stay tuned to our social media for more info.
Hey, Kongaloosh. It's been a while.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace.